Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Friday to you. Hope you had a great week. Well, here's my question for you today. At this moment in this particular season of your life, do you feel bogged down by just the seemingly mundaneness of your life, the daily grind? Have you lost a sense of purpose and passion? Do you wonder if you're one of those have-nots, that others have a purpose, others have a passion, you're just supposed to show up for life and just sort of pound it through? Well, you're not alone, and my guest today wants to offer a new perspective on your life, one that shows that even the smallest steps along this journey point us towards God's purpose for us when we walk in step with Him, when we do the next thing He has for us. And if you listen often enough, you know this whole idea of purpose and preparation are very, very close to my heart. I often say that He makes us wait because He's making us ready. And if you're in a season of waiting, don't get offended with God. Don't numb the pain by just delving into things that mess with you. Lean in and listen for what God has for you, because in the places of opposition and obstacles, He's actually getting your character ready so you can stand in that next place. Well, my guest, Dr. Chris Hill, has written a book that I love. It's called Walking to Jerusalem. He draws from the story of David and the experiences David had in these 12 cities that he visited before reaching Jerusalem. Such a fantastic idea. He's really inviting you, and I'm inviting you, pay attention to the places that we find ourselves in as we see God's promises fulfilled in our lives. I don't want to waste another moment. I want to get this conversation started. Let me tell you about my guest. Dr. Chris Hill is a senior pastor of the Potter's House of Denver, one of the fastest growing and most ethnically diverse churches in America. I just love that. He's a former associate pastor alongside Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he's the author of Walking to Jerusalem, which we're talking about today. And just so you know, I'm not taking calls, but we've got three copies of this great book, and you know the drill. You can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Email me with your name and your address, your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing, and three of you get a copy of this book. You're going to love it. Chris, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me this morning. I'm really excited to be here.
Looking forward to the conversation, Dr. Hill. And I'm wondering if you don't mind sharing scripture with us. We love to start the conversation with scripture, either just a life verse that you've carried with you or one that you've just been pondering these days as you spent time with the Lord.
One of my favorites is, "My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory." You know, there is something so powerful about God's ability to meet us at the point of our needs. Sometimes we don't even know what we need, but God always knows that He always supplies.
Indeed, indeed. Well, before we get into the content, in fact, that this is in the content, but let's hear some about your backstory, your faith journey, how you came to Christ, and when you first had a sense of your own call of God.
Well, my story is a little bit different. I was a boy preacher raised in a Christian home. That kind of just fell apart because of, you know, the pressures on my mother. My father left us before I was even born, and a great deal of pressure was left on my mother to raise my sister and I. And she was a holy woman. She was a pious woman. She did as best she could, but just the pressures of life came tumbling down on her, and she fell apart. Our home turned into a place of physical abuse and really danger. And so when I was 6 years old, I decided to run away from home. I talk about this in the book. Is a lot of kids run away from home, but when I run away, Susie, I run away. Okay, I remember at six waiting for the house to be quiet and slipping out of the window and escaping to the streets of the city of Boston. I stayed in the streets of the city of Boston as a six-year-old for months, and
Wow.
And trying to figure out the time of that while I was, you know, at that age. I didn't know where to run. I just knew that I couldn't be beat again. I didn't know where my grandparents lived. I was too young to know where that was. So I just ran away. And it really, I that's where I met the Lord. That's where I really had an encounter with his ability to care and provide and to guide. I always knew I had a call on my life. I always knew I was supposed to do something, but I really had my encounter with God as he met me in daily bread. He met me in providing food for me in the streets. He met me in keeping me perfectly safe and covered. I think back to it. I never caught a cold. I didn't get sick. I didn't really have a winter coat. I'm from the city of Boston, but even in the midst of that environment, his hand of mercy and grace was upon me. And I think that's where I met the Lord. The Lord became my shepherd, my father, my mother, and my keeper. And that sense of his overwhelming care for us has never left me.
That's just absolutely amazing. So where did you spend most of your childhood and your growing up years?
Well, I was on the streets for about a year, and someone noticed a six-year-old walking around the Boston Public Library in Copley Square and didn't see a parent, so they called the police. And so I was pulled in, and I felt I was busted. Busted at six, and we ended up in foster care. And I spent about 4 years, I believe, in the foster care system. And again, just my whole world turned upside down. God walked us through some incredibly painful seasons. But as I look back at it now, and I get to share this in the book with people, is that that God refines you in the fire, that the thing that is, it looks like it's going to destroy you, actually defines you and makes you a stronger person. A lot of our ministry today, you know, is at the Potter's House of Denver, is ministering out of the pain that I went through. We have a huge feeding program in our church, and it's because I was hungry. Mm. You know, we have a prison ministry in our church. It's because I probably, if the statistics were correct, me being a runaway and in foster care, I should be incarcerated. You know, I looking through the lens of that pain created just a great desire to impact and to help people. And God has allowed me to find a group of crazy people who are crazy enough to coalesce around this vision and to touch a city with me.
I don't even have words to express how much I want to honor you for what you're doing with your life, what you've done, what you've prevailed through, how you've stewarded the gifts and the call and even the tough stuff that life handed you. I can't even honor you enough for what you've done. Dr. Hill, I just want to say thank the Lord for you and God bless you. Because, you know, I just was reading in Philippians this morning about how Paul, his chains have served to advance the gospel. You know, his opposition, his hardship, and even people were jealous of him in his chains because of the way he stewarded it. And I just look at many are fed, you know, spiritually, physically, and otherwise, because you stewarded a terrible situation. You so could be bitter right now. And yet you're humble and I'm probably going on and on, but just want to say God bless you. And I just so honor you for what you've done.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you. For me, it's just, it's the reasonable service.
Yeah.
I don't even think of it as that. I really look at it as I'm just so grateful. Every day is Christmas. Every night is New Year's Eve. I'm alive. I'm full of life. I have a great family, a beautiful wife, and God allows me to share the love that he shared with me as a boy with the world. And this is something I just can, which is why I wanted to write the book. I hadn't told my story at all because I grew up in the kind of family where they, you know, the family motto, it seems, is what happens in this house stays in this house. And so we had so many family secrets, and I had made kind of some covenants that I wouldn't divulge things until some of my family members had gone on to heaven. And Matt, they've gone on, so that's really allowed me the freedom to explain to people the passion that they've seen in the pulpit for the last 20 years and our drive for broken people and hurting people. And my belief that is so rooted and grounded in the Word of God that He has a plan and a purpose for every single life. And even though you may go through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil, because off the other side, your purpose, your destiny is still set and fixed, and God still has something incredible for you to do. And moreover, He's actually going to use the mess that you had to crawl through to make you even better for the assignment He sets for you.
Come on.
I think that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of what we get to share with the world. That's the good news.
Come on, somebody. I love it. Talking to Dr. Chris Hill today. Oh, I love this. Talking to Dr. Chris Hill about his book, Walking to Jerusalem, Discovering Your Divine Life Purpose. Here we're going to talk about the cities that David visited, that he passed through, and they all represent stages of preparation. So interesting. So we're going to unpack as many as we can this hour. Got three copies because I'm not taking calls today. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your name in the subject line. Remember your whole email address. Your mailing address in the body of the email. Mention Jerusalem in the bio to in the body. My goodness, can I talk? Because we get so many emails. That way I know you're vying for this book. Three of you get a copy of it. More with Dr. Chris Hill when we return. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to be talking to Pastor Dr. Chris Hill about his book, and I love this book. It's called Walking to Jerusalem, Discovering Your Divine Life Purpose. So how does walking to Jerusalem help you do that? Well, basically, he unpacks the cities that David passed through and how these really represent times and seasons of preparation for us. We've got three copies of Dr. Hill's book. I'd love to get a copy in your hands. Enter the drawing this way. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your name in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. And write Jerusalem somewhere in the body of the email so I know which book that you're asking for. Three of you will get a copy of this great book. Okay, Dr. Hill, let's start with Bethlehem, the city of beginnings. Love how you wrote that it doesn't really matter how we begin, it's how we finish that counts. Say more.
Absolutely. When you go to Bethlehem, and I have the privilege in researching the book to literally to track David through the sands of time and through the dust of the Holy Land, to go to almost all of these cities that we could locate and find in Israel, and just to have the opportunity to kind of stand there and see the context and the history of the place. And so when we went to Bethlehem, Bethlehem is just 6 miles from Jerusalem. It's a very small town. It was a very small place. It was a historic and storied place at the time of David, and yet here we have this insignificant shepherd boy who Samuel the prophet walks in and anoints him and says that he's going to be king. And I think it's just so incredible how God brings his anointing to small places, to a small town, that he would dispatch Samuel to radically change the destiny of this young man, even in a small town. I really like to encourage people that they shouldn't be discouraged by small beginnings, by the things that look inconsequential in the hand of our Savior become incredible. That our Savior was born in a manger in Bethlehem. King David comes from this little town outside of Jerusalem called Bethlehem, and God does great things in his life. And so irregardless of your past or irregardless of your beginning, I think we can learn things from our Bethlehem, but it is not a Bethlehem that defines our Jerusalem. it really is the plan of God and the purpose of God that propels us into our divine destiny.
Boy, so good. I think it was Tozer who wondered why certain people rise above the fray and go on and do above and beyond all you could dare to ask or think. And he's like, aren't the promises true for all of us? And so he investigated and he thought, you know, God is no respecter of persons. So why do certain persons rise up? And he said, as he looked, one was rich, one was poor, one was black, one was white, one was educated, one wasn't. What was the difference and what was the common denominator? And what it was is what he called spiritual receptivity, where these people, the one thing they had in common is they developed a lifestyle of listening to God. And when he spoke, they did something about it. And I just think that's such a powerful reminder for all of us, because even you said we all have to come to a point where we determine to see beyond our limitations. And I'm thinking the people who go on and do great things don't do so because they didn't have limitations, but somehow they saw beyond them. So I'd love for you to unpack that if you would.
Well, I love that concept. That is just beautiful. I'm really blessed by it, because if there had been no word from the Lord, David's ability to hear the voice of Samuel and to honor it, even in the midst of an environment that was not conducive or productive. It's not like David's brothers are standing around and clapping and encouraging him and his new calling to be their king. They still have issues. They got issues by 1 Samuel 17. They're still mad, you know. So there's a reality that even though his environment was not positive and did not affirm that, he still remembered his prophecy. I think it's just imperative that even in our Bethlehem situations, even our beginning places, our tough places, that we hold on to what God says about us in his word. Mm. And even that thing, that promise that he's whispered to us in our time of prayer, that heart dream, that heart vision, that still wakes us up in the middle of the night, even when we don't, you know, even when we thought it was over, that's still burning on the inside of us. And I think that's so important, that we stay receptive. I love that concept, to the voice of God, the direction of God, and I believe the destiny of God.
Amen. Okay, the second city, Gibeah, I think I'm saying that right. You call that the city of exposure. And you're right that there are stages and seasons of life when God puts us in places or circumstances that do not seem to make sense for accomplishing our calling. I would say, Dr. Hill, that's exactly where our self-life starts to show. And I don't know that that's a bad thing, because I feel like it reminds us of how desperate we are for God. But I'd love for you to speak to that whole city of exposure season of life.
Yeah, I think there are seasons where God allows us to meet people. Gibeah is an incredible city where David had an encounter with King Saul. He's there in a service capacity, but it's really the first time he's ever going to see a king. And I think God allows us to be exposed to people that begin to give us some insight into what we're going to do. It's not like you're it right away. And he allows you to see it before you can be it. And I love how he exposes us to things that just would blow our minds. Here's David. He's a shepherd boy on the side of the hill in Bethlehem. And he gets called to the palace, and he's surrounded by the king's court. And only he knows that Samuel came to his house and anointed him to be king. And now he gets to be exposed and be around someone who is a king. And I think God is, in his infinite mercy, I look back at my own life, at the kinds of people he allowed me to just kind of meet or have an encounter with that were actually giving me context clues for what would be my destiny.
Wow.
And I think we have to allow God to expose it. We have to read. We have to go to conferences. We have to study. We have to allow God to open us wide to see what we might be able to be, or perhaps maybe are called to be in the future.
Boy, and to even take that word and turn it around the other way, is when he gives us those glimpses of glory and we get excited and we get, you know, a passion in our soul, then we want to get going, and it seems like things stall out and we wonder, what are you waiting for? I've got it now. I'm ready for it. But don't you feel like that in-between time when things sort of slow down? That's what I meant when our self-life shows. It's like, okay, I have this dream in my heart, but I still have some character stuff to work through that God's going to walk me through. And I think we can short-circuit that place if we get impatient and start to take matters into our own hands, don't you?
Well, absolutely. I mean, David goes in to Gibeah. He's there to just play his harp and sing some songs, you know. He doesn't go in there and say, hey, I'm the next king. In fact, Saul, just hand over the crown, you know. I think you can short-circuit your own opportunity by blowing your cover prematurely, by trying to manipulate the situation and force the hand of God. Sometimes God just wants you in the room just to see it. He wants you just to be there to begin to frame your own thinking for you, to be the framework of your future. And so we can't rush out. That's why one of the concepts of the book I love sharing is that we have to embrace the city that we're in. We really have to thoroughly say, God, I want to learn everything that you have for me to learn. I want you to work on my character. I want you, like as you said, I believe that preparation is a huge part of purpose. And God, oh, and everything you want me to learn in this city, this stage that I'm in, I want to learn. And then I'll be ready to go to the next level. But I don't want to have to repeat processes. I don't want to have to go backward. I want to extract and learn all that you have for me on this level so that when God promotes me, I'll be prepared and ready to go to the next level.
Wow. Can I get an amen? Well, about a minute and a half, we have our hard break at the bottom of the hour, but I want you to speak to the whole idea of in this city or season, I should say, of exposure, and when God is giving you glimpses of what he has for you, it's also can be troublesome in that you're bumping up against people that seem to stand in the way of that calling. Talk about David's service to a crazed king, how that actually prepared him, and maybe make the application for the person listening today who's like, I'm working with people who seem completely incompetent, and it seems like a waste of my time. What say you?
I love it. I mean, here's God has David serving this demonized king. He's crazy. He's dangerous. And I feel like sometimes we look at people around us and say, Lord, why would you put me in even anywhere around this person? And it's that God teaches us not only from the good that we see in others, but also from the bad. Mm. We also learn from the challenges. That supervisor that is just totally unfair. That person makes you a better supervisor when you become in a position of authority. I feel like it is all of those experiences, the good, bad, and the ugly, that help to form who we are. And so we have to learn how to thank God even when we're working with crazy people, when we feel like we're under attack, when we feel like we're misunderstood, because it's just preparing us for when we're in a position of authority or influence that we'll be a better leader, we'll be a better servant, we'll be a better king.
Amen. More with Dr. Chris Hill on the other side. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with Dr. Chris Hill about his book, Walking to Jerusalem, Discovering Your Divine Purpose, Divine Life Purpose. Such a fantastic idea for a book. He looks at the cities that David passed through and how he identifies these as cities of preparation for us and the purposes of God on our lives. So we've talked about Bethlehem. That's the city of beginnings. We've talked about the city of Gibeah. This is the city of exposure when God gives you glimpses of your future promise. You're still in a not yet season, but man, when you have a vision for where God is taking you, boy, you have a sense to practice restraint, to stay focused, to obey God in that place. Now, the third one is the Valley of Elah. Did I say that right?
You got it exactly.
All right. And this is the city of transition. And I loved this. You said, you write about the arrow principle. And you said, sometimes God will pull you backward in order to propel you forward. Say more, if you would.
what one of the things that we get to talk about in the book is that David is in Gibeah. He's now become Saul, one of Saul's armor bearers. He's playing his harp and serving there. And then he gets a call back to Bethlehem. Saul is going off to war, and so they just send David home to be with his dad, and he goes right back to serving with the sheep. I think it's really informative that when God is about to promote you, when you're in transition, very often he'll pull you back into what you used to do. You might, you can already see where you're headed. It looks like everything is on track now. And then, bam, you wake up and you're back in Bethlehem. And I can look at to the frustration in David saying, why am I backwards when I thought I was going forward? As I get to talk with people, I've been, as we've been touring the book, walking to Jerusalem, I've been stuck in chapter 3. I think there's so many people that are in transition, and they're watching God pull them back to what they used to do, and they're wondering what happened. But I call this the arrow principle, because whenever you look at an arrow in the hand of the archer, he always brings the arrow backwards and puts it in tension, puts it in stress, and that backwards motion is actually setting that arrow up to be in a position where it's going to fly.
Amen.
I believe that when God's about to promote you, he'll often bring you backwards, but it is not that backwards step that is an indicator that you're not going to go forward. It's really an indication that God is winding you up. He's putting you under tension. He's stretching you. He's challenging your comfort zone, because when he releases you this next time, you're going to fly farther and farther and higher than you've ever flown before.
You know, Dr. Hill, it seems that this could apply vocationally, locationally, even emotionally. I mean, for me, I want to say, I don't know, about a month ago, after coming through some significant, painful family crises, I was just feeling weary, and the Lord clearly said, I'm about to bring some expansion and increase your territory. But I'm like, really? Because I'm kind of tired. And you know, I was grateful, but it didn't even match how I felt, but it was just confirmed. And then old health stuff flared up. And I am telling you what, I've had to go back and revisit old fears. And it just surprised me. And I'd love that he would show me, I have this in the future, because he knew it was coming for me. But I've had to go back and revisit old dread and fear and anxiety around, I used to have Lyme disease and I have these flare-ups. And I am telling you what, I've had to face down something that's been embedded in my soul that I did not even know was there. But I'm breaking through, and I'm seeing this is a pulling back and a revisiting. I have to do that before he releases me. That happens too, doesn't it? Like old fears or old unresolved issues. Is that part of this arrow principle?
Absolutely. It's fascinating, and I'm so thankful that you'd share that, how God will – it's almost like the test before he transitions you is to see if you have been changed before you go to the next level. It is as if he pulls you back into something that you thought you had overcome, and come on, that's over with. But when he pulls you back into that area, it's only for a season, but it's definitely for a reason. Because if you can withstand being going backwards, as it were, then God can trust you with going further and going forward at a greater rate of acceleration. And so I honor you. I celebrate you. Mm. It's hard to face the thing that you thought you defeated. It's hard to, Lord, why? Are you kidding? I thought this was done. I thought we beat this. And here it raises its ugly head again, and then we have to dig deeper in the well of our faith and our courage and the word that God has deposited in our hearts. We have to pull out those words and pull out those promises and pull out that prophecy of divine destiny, and that keeps us going on the track toward where God wants us to be in the first place.
So good. My pastor always says, devil can't get your goat unless you have a goat to get. And I'm like, well, I guess I had a goat. I so didn't want to revisit this, but apparently I had a goat. But it was, I am better for it. I have a firmer grasp on his promises. And instead of just thanking him in the battle, I really am thanking him for it as well. Well, you know, I'd love to just pause here before we move to the city of Jebus. And I'm praying, Dr. Hill, that someday you'll come back, maybe next month. So I want to make sure we cover all these cities because it's such good stuff, and I don't want to rush through them. And you can think and pray about that. But in this place of being pulled back, I remember Bruce Wilkinson in his book, Secrets of the Vine, talks about that season of pruning when God cuts us back. And he said far too often, people who are just about to be promoted are being prepared by being pruned. And they get mad and offended with God and thereby put themselves back under God's discipline. When if they could have just trusted, humbled themselves, leaned in to this pruning time and said, what in me, Lord? They would have been propelled forward. But instead they get an attitude because they loved the flourishing part of their life and they were unwilling to go through this pruning part of their life. Talk about how this pulling back is truly a test of our character and perspective as well.
Well, I love that. And we see it in the life of David. He is just so honored to serve his father's sheep. He has not put on any airs. He has not grown so accustomed to the palace that he is not useful at home. He has not been affected by his advancement to the level where he can't serve on any level. And I think that's important because that's the ultimate test of our character. And because every city is instructive for where we're going to go, every city that we're in is helping to formulate the context of our future. We have to learn how to be a base and a bow. We have to learn how to be in great situations and be in not so great situations and still have praise and honor to God and still have a good spirit about us. And David, he represents that. God, his father, tells him, hey, deliver these cheese sandwiches to the army. And David just packs up here he is. He was the king's armor bearer. And now he's delivering 10 cheeses and 10 breads to his brothers who don't exactly care for him all that much at this point in the story. I think how you serve people who are not really that enamored with your destiny is a real good indicator of the level to which God can take you to.
Wow.
I think it's really important that we emphasize, even in the midst of us questing for our destiny and completing the call on our lives, that we always need to be ready to serve at any level, in any capacity, because sometimes it's just a test that God is watching us to see, how are you going to handle this? Have you been changed by what I've done in your life? Or is humility still the symphony that surrounds you? Is thankfulness still the backdrop of the canvas of your life? And I think David passes this test so incredibly, and that's why he's ready to take on Goliath. He's ready for transition because he's proven that even with the simple tools of a shepherd, he will be the best shepherd in the history of shepherdry. He's going to be the best servant. He's going to serve his brothers, even though they don't really care for him. He's going to be obedient to his father, even though he knows he's in the next season of his life. And even with the simple tools of a shepherd, a slingshot and some staves, some the staffs of a shepherd, he's going to be a servant in the hand of God that can bring down the giant that is standing against the children of Israel. And I think that's just so instructive and so encouraging that if I can be faithful in the few things, that God can trust me to be a ruler over much.
Wow. And you look at how, he was bringing food to his brothers. He had no idea of what was going, how his day was going to take a turn. It's such a picture, isn't it, Dr. Hill, of how God so often promotes us out of obscurity. I mean, he was being faithful in obscurity. You don't see an attitude with him going back home. And yet you see again and again and again how God promotes, you know, Joseph in the prison, you know, Moses in the wilderness. He promotes us out of obscurity. So what we do in that place of pulling back is really critical for how we fare on the other side, isn't it?
I mean, the wilderness is like it. You know, as we look at the Word of God and all throughout Scripture, wilderness has been a place of transition. That Jesus did not go into full time ministry until his public ministry until he goes through the wilderness. Paul has to spend a period of testing and training in the wilderness, in obscurity, before he can be released to be the grand apostle of the Bible, that God takes Israel through the wilderness. It's even with Elisha, when he's ready to catch the mantle of Elijah, they have to cross the Jordan and go back into the wilderness before that mantle can be dropped. And I feel like sometimes God has to take you backward. He has to take you back into something, that wilderness that you've already conquered. I've already been through this. And yet it is in the wilderness of our lives that God drops mantles of promotion. It's in those hard places, in those places of service where we have to check our attitude and watch our tongue and love anyway and deal with people who are, you know, a little bit cantankerous and don't have a complete understanding of our calling. It's in those places that God causes mantles of promotion to fall, and then we can just pick them up without anyone fighting us for them, because the wilderness is not a place where everybody wants to go.
Talking to Dr. Chris Hill today about his amazing book, Walking to Jerusalem, Discovering Your Divine Life Purpose. We're visiting these cities that David passed through as places of preparation for his ultimate promotion. What about you? What city do you identify with so far? I am praying we can get Dr. Hill back to finish these. We've got a few more to cover, I think, before the end of the hour. Next, we'll talk about the city of Jebus, the city of personal promise. I would love to get a copy of this book into your hands. Enter the drawing this way. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Give me your name in the subject line, your mailing address in the body of the email, and just write the word Jerusalem in that email as well, so I'll know which book you're drawing for. More with Dr. Chris Hill in a moment. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Chris Hill about his book, Walking to Jerusalem, Discovering Your Divine Life Purpose. And he has this fantastic idea for a book to look at the cities that David passed through as seasons of preparation for us. And we've covered so far Bethlehem, the city of beginnings, Gibeah, the city of exposure, where God gives you glimpses of what he has for you in the future so you can stay the course and not lose heart. The Valley of Elah, that's the city of transition. And this is the place where we spent quite a bit of time just because it's so interesting. He addresses this arrow principle when God will sometimes pull us back into old stuff, an old city, an old place in our hearts so that he can propel us forward. But what we do in that place matters, right? And the next city, the city of Jebus, it's the city of personal promise. Speak to that one, if you would, Dr. Hill.
When we look at Jebus, I loved writing about it, and I think about it. It causes me to remember myself when I was 21, when I was somewhere between 19 and 21 is when I really said yes to the Lord for ministry, and I started to dream, you know, not sleeping dreams, but these waking dreams of what pastoring would be like. I started to dream about pastoring a church of 5,000 people. I started dreaming about pastoring a church where mixed racial ethnicities and a church with multiple generations of people all coming together, all ages and stages, all colors and cultures and languages coming together to worship God together. And I just wrote it down in the journal. I really didn't tell anybody because from my worldview at that time, I'd never seen a church like that. It passed by someone who looked like me. They didn't exist in the world, and certainly not in the city of Boston that I'm from. And so I just kind of put it away, but it was the city of my dream. And when I flash forward some 20-odd years coming to Denver and being called to plant and build a church and watching our church grow up over the last 6 years to be, you know, thousands of people. Our church has grown to 7,000 members in 6 years.
Wow.
But looking at the congregation, Susie, it's so amazing to see all the races and ethnicities and languages coming together. And it's not just young people, and it's not just old people. It's young people and older people together worshiping God multiculturally, multi-ethnically, and multi-generationally. And I realize that I'm in my city. I'm in my city, my place of promise. But he gave me that promise. He gave me that 20 years ago. And sometimes God will put you in a place where he'll give you a sense of where he's going to take you. And that's what I see in the life of David when he's in Jebus. Jebus is just the old name for Jerusalem. It's the old name before David conquered Jebus and changed the name to Jerusalem. But I've been sharing this everywhere. He was already there. He 20 years before he took Jebus and renamed it Jerusalem, he was already there in his mind. He was already there in his spirit. He's going to take the head of Goliath and bury it outside the walls of the city 20 years before he takes the city. It's like he places his monument not in his past, but in his future.
Wow.
And says, I'm going to be here one day. And I want to encourage people that it's all right to dream. It's all right to dream big. It's never too late. It's never too big for where we come from. Here's David, 20 years before he scales the walls of Jebus and takes the citadel of Zion and renames it Jerusalem. He's already there in his mind, in his spirit, his heart. And so for me, Jebus is the city of your personal promise. It's the city that God has promised you. And yeah, you might not be there yet, but the promise of God is existing, and his promises are never broken. And I can build my life and my hope and my testimony on what God has promised he's going to do.
That is fantastic that he was already there, bearing a monument into his future, not into his past. Absolutely amazing. And I remember when he went to face off with the Jebusites actually said, "You will not come in here." And I loved, in one translation, it says, "Nevertheless, David took the city." Nevertheless, it's like here they're shouting, "You're not coming in here." Nevertheless, he did. I'm wondering, we just got a few minutes here before it's time to pray, but as you were in journey, you know, to your places of promise, what kind of obstacles said, "You'll not come in here"? I mean, what did you face down where you had to do a nevertheless and keep walking anyway?
I mean, there's so many. They're just so climbing through my childhood and coming to a place where I could forgive my father and my mother. God reunifying our family when I was a teenager, and working through the process when you've been on your own as a six-year-old on the streets. It's very hard to parent a child who's had to parent themselves and finding how to submit, and then emerging into ministry. And when you have a multicultural anointing and people don't really understand that, and I'm talking about going around the world to people who, you know, didn't even have a concept of going around the neighborhood or crossing cultural and color lines in their community, let alone, I'm talking about reaching cultures around the world, those being questioned and having your intentions and your motives misunderstood, and then coming to Denver, my wife and I and our two boys, we went to Denver pretty much, you know, Bishop Jakes, my pastor sent us there. No team went with us. We didn't bring a plant team. We just landed in the city and started loving on people and preaching and trying to serve and to watch the dream happen in the midst of all kinds of opposition and just a really inauspicious beginning that God put his hands on, and to watch it now, you know, reach around the world, preaching in 200 different nations around the world and reaching people through television and internet, and now getting to write this book and share the story. There are so many different things that we had to, that looked impossible, that looked improbable. But I think that's where God gets to show off in our lives. He's waiting for the enemy to say the halt and the lame and the blind could keep you out of here. But isn't it interesting that that's exactly what Jesus came healing in Jerusalem when he launched into his ministry? The very thing that they said would keep out David was the very thing that the Son of David came to heal, the halt and the lame and the blind. And I think that's what happens, is the very things that the enemy tries to use to keep you out of your promised land, to keep you out of your promise, God will use you to infiltrate and to then to so affect that which was broken that it is made whole and healthy and holy by the touch of God.
Boy, you know, I think you were a forerunner. That's probably why you had so much opposition, because truly it's the racially diverse church that will have the credibility in the community, and it's God's heart. It's what heaven's going to look like. And Lord willing, next time I speak in Colorado, I'm coming to visit your church. I just love it.
You must come see it, please.
Wow.
That would be awesome.
I'm so excited for what God is doing for you and through you. And, man, I just bless the Lord for that. As we wrap up, Dr. Hill, wondering if you'd pray for that person who's felt overlooked by God because they're in the city of obscurity. Would you pray for them?
Yes, Lord, we just lift my brother and my sister who might feel like their divine destiny has been delayed. I'm praying that you'd encourage them, you'd strengthen them, that they have not been forgotten, that you specialize in reaching back and getting the least, the lost, and the left behind, and positioning them for the divine purpose and calling that you have for their lives. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Dr. Hill, this has been just an amazing conversation and a blessed time. I wish you God's best, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. This was just a joy. Thanks so much.
I felt so, too. Title of his book, Walking to Jerusalem, Discovering Your Divine Life Purpose. I want you to have this book. I pray this book grows wings, but three of you will get your book. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your name in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address and write Jerusalem somewhere in the email so I know it's for you. I hope you get it. Wow, what a great show today. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember, if you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. You should know that by heart by now, right? Get your name in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. And three of you get a copy of this great book. Hoping we can get Dr. Hill back to look through all of the cities, because there's something in there for each one of us. Remember this, finally. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.